Ash Wednesday is a bit of a dirty business, isn't it? Literally. As much as I try to put the ashes on well, I know sometimes I hit the bridge of the nose. Sometimes a little extra ash breaks off and falls into an eyelash. It's a messy business. I have the benefit of getting to go in back and wash my hands, which I'm sure you're all grateful for before I serve communion. You may have to wait a little bit to get the extra dust free and off and everything else, but we are in this mode tonight of wanting to show God, and even by our ashes, I suppose, to show one another how eager we are to be done with the messy business of sin. How much better to have a little bit of mess on our forehead as a sign of our wanting to be done with sin rather than to have written on our foreheads what our sins might be. Imagine what a messy business that would be, walking down the street, walking through the workplace, walking around with our sin written boldly there for all to see. No, that would be too messy of a business. And we have a God who invites us to come before him in humbleness, but then who also says he will lift us up. That's what tonight is about. It's the start of a journey for us also, because for this Lent, I want to try to take us through the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. We have here, starting in John chapter 13, seven of the 21 chapters that make up the Gospel of John. One-third of the Gospel of John is focused on these last 24 hours. When we know that it's near the end of someone's time, perhaps you've been there at the deathbed of a loved one, we give very special ear to what it is that they're saying. We assume that those last words will be some expression of love, some expression of hope, some expression of blessing. And it's no different with Jesus. It's a time, perhaps, when we can hang anew on his word, the words of him who will soon be hanging on the cross. To hang and to cling to those words, the one who is going to be letting go of his life, letting go of his righteousness, being emptied out even of his blood so that we might be filled. All that's ahead. But in these next weeks, the Wednesdays and the Sunday mornings, we'll look at various little spotlight moments of that 24 hours. The nails that pierced his hands, the soldiers that mocked him, the trials that he went under. 24 hours and so much happens in Jesus' life. It's really quite remarkable. And as we have up here on the slide, there is that phrase you heard in the gospel reading, the full extent of his love. My suggestion to you is, my personal conviction is that from this moment when Jesus in John 13 is about to wash the disciples' feet, all the way up until the moment when he cries out, "It is finished, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and breathes his last, that all of it, every word, every action, everything he endures, it all is an expression of the fullness of his love. What 24 hours may do in all this time? How much will change? Who will draw close to Jesus? Who will run away? Who will deny they ever knew him? And who will risk their lives to be there with him at his last breath? 24 hours is going to change a lot, but in these last hours, as we stretch them out over 6 weeks, we have the opportunity to hear Jesus anew, maybe in a deeper way, maybe in a way that can move us so that the full extent of his love really sinks in. To get there, maybe tonight it's fitting that we start off thinking about the full extent of our sinfulness, that which moved him to even come here in the first place, that which moved him to endure all that he is going to endure. We think of the full extent of our sin, and we can wash off these ashes from our foreheads pretty fast. How easily can we wash away the consequences of your sin and mine? The words that we spoke that wounded someone, and we cannot take back that scar from their heart. The inaction that we showed when someone else was being bullied or someone else was in need, and we just went by, or we maintained our 1,000-yard stare. We acted like we hadn't seen or even knew a thing was going on. The full extent of the consequences of those actions and inactions, of those words, thoughts, and deeds. It all adds up to why he came and why Jesus had to show the full extent of his love. And somehow all of that sin of the centuries, of the millennia that have come before him, the millennium now, two millennium now after him, all of that sin and all the consequences, the full extent of that is going to be compressed down into this last 24 hours, compressed down into those last hours on the cross, compressed down on the loving arms of a Savior who says, I want to show you the full extent of my love. All of that is coming yet this evening. One of the things to be really, really clear about is that this wasn't as if Jesus came to earth for some kind of rescue mission and he was intending to solve this sin problem some other way, and he just sort of tripped and fell one day, and then the last option that was left, since he was all out of time, was a cross. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, and Jesus knew exactly why he had come. He knew it. He knew it with all of his heart. He knew the suffering that was coming. He knew the abandonment that was coming. He knew the rejection that was coming from his own people. He knew the way that you and I would let his grace go in one ear or in one part of our hearts and out the other. In the first verse, it says that he knew the time had come. In the third verse, we read that he knew that the Father had placed all things under his feet, and that he knew why he was having to return, had come from the Father and was going to have to return to the Father. He knew everything that was before him, and yet he did it anyway. Let that sink in. Those of us who have had the privilege of parents, if we knew how many sleepless nights, if we knew how many diaper blowouts we would have to change, if we knew how many times they would say no to us and we'd feel our blood pressure rise and the veins start to bulge on the side of our neck, if we knew what it would be like once they became teenagers and it got even worse, if we knew the full extent of how much it was going to cost physically, financially, emotionally, and prayerfully, if we knew that going in, how many of us would have trembled with fear to ever become parents? And yet knowing fully going in, knowing what it would cost, Jesus came and Jesus did what he did, what we'll look at these next 6 weeks. He started with washing their feet when no one else would, and he ended it by washing away all of our sins. All of that is yet ahead. But tonight we want to focus one more thought, one more idea, that not only did he know it was coming, but love is really what drove Jesus to do everything that he did. In his book, Bob Goff tells a story about a young man, I think his name was Jamie, if I have the story right. And Bob Goff, just so you kind of get this, is a best-selling author. He happens to live in a beautiful house right next to a beachside park in the San Diego area. And along comes Jamie one day and he says, excuse me, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I want to get engaged. I want to ask the love of my life to marry me. And your house is just so beautiful right here by this beautiful beachside park. I wonder if you wouldn't mind if I proposed to her right here on your front porch. Well, who could say no to that? What a sweet gesture. A couple of days later, Jamie comes back. I wonder if it'd be possible if we could have dinner first on your front porch before we went ahead and I proposed to her. You know what, Jamie? I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm a romantic at heart too. I'll whip something up for you. Oh, that would be great. And would it be possible if I could have a couple of my friends come and play some music for us while you're making the meal, and then they could serve, and then I could ask the question? Well, you can kind of guess where this went. Jamie had the idea to have 100 of his friends holding up candles once the sun set to spell out, "Will you marry me?" out on the beach. Bob Goff got hooked into the idea and said, "You know what, why don't you propose to her out on my sailboat after you have the dinner? That would really be something." And then as this idea just sort of spread, Bob was in like the local marine version of a hardware store, and there was the Coast Guard guy going, "Are you kidding me? Hey, can I get in on that?" He decides to bring out his Coast Guard boat and blow the hoses up at a full hose salute when he asks that moment of, "Will you marry me?" Love always involves action, and love always involves sacrifice. Here's Bob Goff. He doesn't know this kid from anything. He's willing to give up his porch and give up messing up his kitchen. And here's a Coast Guard captain that doesn't mind. He's willing to give up and sacrifice whatever, all because love so captivated them, this love of this one for his beloved, that they wanted in on the action. And I want to suggest to you that this love of Jesus that he's going to show us, this full extent of his love, as we let it in and really change us, we're going to want to get in on the action too. We're going to want to be in on the whole way that he works this out throughout the universe and in our little corner of it. We want to be involved in how he shows it to the stranger and to the hurting and to the one who's wondering, is God really there? Does God really love me? And just as it involves sacrifice for Jesus, it's sure to involve some for us. It's likely to be a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, but it is likely to pale in comparison to all that our Savior sacrificed and gave for us. I pray we'll be ready when that love really sinks in, when we really soak it in, we will be ready to see that moment and seize that moment to make a little sacrifice and to be a part of the extent of his love spreading a little bit further in this world. There's a mom. Her name is Elena. She was 36 by the time she could get pregnant. And Elena learned as she was going through all of her appointments and well visits that she was not well. Elena found out she had a type of uterine cancer that if it was not treated, she was likely to lose her life within just a year or slightly longer. But to treat that cancer would have been to impact the child she had been waiting so long to have. For Elena, that loving, sacrificial choice was very easy. And yet that loving, sacrificial choice cost her her life so she could give her daughter, Grace, a life without disfigurement from those chemicals and medical treatments. Jesus paid such a high price so that you and I could have a life free from sin and its disfigurement. Let's be done with it. And let's be ready to pay a higher price to sacrifice to say no to sin so we can receive even more of his love and be involved even more in showing his love to others. I pray God will guide us in that. Now, this Ash Wednesday and always, may he be glorified who showed us the full extent of his love. Amen. We're going to receive our offering right now. And we're going to pray first. My apologies. I want to invite you, if you want to stand to pray, go ahead. If you want to stay and be seated and be comfortable to pray, that's fine. But let's pray for just a few moments. Lord, how much you love us. The words roll off our tongue very easily, but if we just let our imagination go for a moment, if we think of Jesus willing to suffer for us, willing to sacrifice his life that we might live, willing to give up and be beaten, be bruised, be rejected so that we would never be rejected, but instead be accepted as adopted children of the Heavenly Father. Oh, how we ask you, oh God, to move our hearts to be fully open to your love, the miracle of it, the sacrifice of it, the full extent of it. that you know our name, that you know the full extent of our sins, and you love us anyway. Lord, for those with hurting hearts tonight, for those with hurting bodies here in the hospital or at home, we ask you to let the full extent of your healing love reach out to them. But for those, Lord, who are here, who are soaking in again anew the love through your Son, Jesus Christ, may it fill us to overflowing that we share it with others. We pray this in faith, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.